Welcome to the Holden Village Podcast. Holden is a community of education, programming, and worship located in the remote wilderness of the Cascade Mountains. These snapshots provide a glimpse into the learnings taking place in our community. Let's tune in to this week's highlight.
My name is Marta Vegdahl-Kroll. I use she, her pronouns. I'm currently the staff coordinator at Holden.
My name is Julia Hubbard, and I use she, her pronouns, and I'm the program manager. Welcome to Food for Thought.
Today's theme focuses on Indigenous peoples, environmental justice, and the history of oppression against Native peoples propagated by the Christian Church. We come to you with a spirit of openness and curiosity as we acknowledge the legacy of colonialism in our ancestry, and we seek to repair relationships. We invite you into this conversation where we are open to the transformational work of justice. As we attempt to untangle ourselves from the web of white supremacy, we will not always do the right thing. We are aiming to amplify the voices of Indigenous peoples, to learn from their wisdom, and to follow their lead. We now hold a moment of silence as we open our hearts, minds, and spirits to receive the Indigenous wisdom so generously given. We especially hold gratitude for the Chelan, Wenatchee, and Intiat peoples whose land we occupy.
The following excerpts are from Creation Justice Ministries' document on environmental justice for Indigenous peoples. Whether you identify with the Christian faith, another religion or religions, or no religion, we ask you to consider how your beliefs and values connect to these issues and histories. What is the doctrine of discovery? The doctrine of discovery is a philosophical and legal framework dating to the 15th century that gave Christian governments moral and legal rights to invade and seize Indigenous lands and dominate Indigenous peoples. The patterns of oppression that continue to dispossess Indigenous peoples of their lands today are found in numerous historical documents, such as papal bulls, royal charters, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings as recent as 2005. Collectively, these and other concepts form a paradigm of domination that legitimates extractive industries that displace and destroy many Indigenous peoples and other vulnerable communities, as well as harm the earth.
Undergirding the doctrine of discovery are Christian theologies of entitlement that cite the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19-20, the divine mandate to rule based on Romans 13, and the narrative of a covenantal people justified in taking possession of land as described in the Exodus story. Another principle, terra nullius, or empty land, was a theological and legal doctrine that said discovered lands were effectively devoid of humans if the original people who lived there, defined as heathens, pagans, and infidels, were not ruled by a Christian prince. These kinds of misinterpretations and misapplications of biblical text were used to advance the goals of empire. Thus, Christendom legitimized the conquest of both people and land. It empowered European governments to use coercion and violence, including genocide and enslavement, far from the biblical vision of justice and righteousness.
So how does the doctrine of discovery relate to environmental justice today? The painful truth is that over 500 years of international policies that unfairly took advantage of Indigenous peoples continue to give advantage to Christians of European descent, and that property ownership primarily went through men. In the U.S. and around the world, the doctrine of discovery's legal and institutional legacy has legitimated mining, fracking, logging, water theft, plantation agriculture, and other extractive industries that take resources from Indigenous communities to benefit the wealth of descendants of Europeans and colonial or post-colonial nations. The harm of the doctrine discovery extends well beyond Indigenous communities. It has normalized attitudes and behaviors of domination toward fellow human beings, other species, and the rest of the earth. We now ask you to reflect, in what ways do you think the trauma of the doctrine of discovery has harmed the abusers and the abused? We know trauma has a tendency to repeat itself over time. Throughout history, how has this pattern of harm repeated itself in the oppression of not only Indigenous peoples, but also of other racial and ethnic groups, of women, of LGBTQ peoples, and of our earth?
The doctrine of discovery in U.S. law. The presumption that Christian men of European descent are entitled to decide the fate of Indigenous people and their land persisted through a multitude of decisions of the executive, legal, and congressional branches of the U.S. government.
So let's talk about land ownership today. Today, the vast majority of U.S. residents' ancestors migrated as colonists, slaves, refugees, or immigrants. It is a difficult truth that most owners of homes, churches, and business properties have materially benefited from the theft of Indigenous peoples' lands. As U.S. taxpayers, we also collectively own federal government property. There are three types of reserved federal lands in the United States: military, public, and Indian. Federally held lands are the collective responsibility of all people who live and pay taxes in the United States. If these lands are being used in a way that is morally concerning, we can advocate to the public officials responsible for their stewardship. Military land includes not only military bases, but also land held in trust by the Army Corps of Engineers. Federally held public lands include national forests, wilderness areas, national wildlife refuges, national monuments, and national parks. Places within the U.S. military and public lands often hold significance for Indigenous peoples.
Today, 56 million acres are held as reservation and trust land belonging to various American Indian tribes and individuals. American Indian tribal lands comprise about 2% of the United States. Alaska Native corporations and villages control 44 million acres. If the 100 million acres under American Indian or Alaska Native control were a state, it would be the fourth largest state in the U.S. The largest reservation belongs to the Navajo Nation. The 574 tribal nations that have a nation-to-nation relationship with the U.S. government are located across 35 states. However, this number itself does not represent state-recognized groups, Native Hawaiians, nor those Indigenous peoples who were terminated by the federal government's policy that eliminated the sovereignty of over 100 tribes. While there are 300-plus federal Indian reservations in the United States, there's also far more tribal land than what is federally recognized. Today, most people who live in the United States lack the type of deep knowledge of our land that some Indigenous peoples still hold. This knowledge is based on generations of relying on the gifts of creation for sustenance, yet too often it is not respected. The Earth is under unprecedented stress from climate change and species loss. It is now more important than ever to learn from the original caretakers of native species, land, and water. So now we ask you to reflect on the following questions. Do you know how the land on which you were born, where you live, or where your community is located was originally acquired? What do you know about the land's original caretakers? What about military land near you, or public land areas you enjoy visiting?
The following is from the Confederated Tribes of the Colville Reservation, a brief history. The homeland of the Chelan centered around the shoreline of Lake Chelan and down the Chelan River to the Columbia River. At the time of the arrival of the Euro-Americans, the Chelan had several permanent villages with populations of 100 people or more. Most of these were on the northern shore of Lake Chelan, although Wapato Lake and Dry Lake also were home to Chelan villages, as were certain locations along the Columbia River. The northern portion of the Chelan lands also fell within the boundaries of the 1879 Moses Columbia Reservation. With this reservation's dissolution, the Chelan were given the choice of moving to the Colville Reservation or accepting allotments. We encourage you to continue learning about the history of the land you live on. We know that this is just a short excerpt from much history around Holden and this land that we are on.
We each have a unique part to play in changing systems of oppression into systems of healing. I invite you to reflect on what that could look like in your life, through the role that you have at Holden or outside of Holden, perhaps in your life when you leave Holden, and perhaps with those action steps and those changes in mind, we can create the structures of healing that we aspire to see in the world.
We close with Joy Harjo's poem, Bless This Land. Bless this land from the top of its head to the bottom of its feet.
Bless the mouth, lips, and speech of this land, for the land is a speaker, a singer, a keeper of all that happens here on this land.
Bless the arms and hands of this land, for they remake and restore beauty in this land.
Bless the heart of this land on its knees, planting food beneath the eternal circle of breathing, swimming, and walking this land.
Bless the gut labyrinth of this land, for it is the center of unknowing in this land.
Bless the femaleness and the maleness of this land, for each holds the fluent power of becoming in this land.
Bless the two legs and two feet of this land, for the sacred always walks beside the profane in this land.
Bless the destruction of this land, for new shoots will rise up from fire, floods, earthquakes, and fierce winds to make new this land.
Bless the creation of new land, for out of chaos we will be compelled to remember to bless this land.
Bless us, these lands, said the rememberer. These lands aren't our lands. These lands aren't your lands. We are this land.
And the blessing began a graceful moving through the grasses of time, from the beginning to the circling around place of time. Always moving, always.
Thanks for joining us. Be sure to view the links in the description for more information or visit our website to find out more about the village. We hope you will make a pilgrimage to Holden. Blessings and peace to you.